I got a white line fever. Going around land down under. Going to turn around the corner way down yonder. And I'm not even going to try to rhyme anymore.
Welcome to White Line Fever, episode 14. They said we wouldn't last. I'm on a tour bus in Wolverhampton, and I'm cold, but I'm not from Finland. I'm with Michael Munro. Are you cold?
A bit chilly. I could be a bit warmer. It would be nicer. Even though I'm from Finland, doesn't mean I enjoy the cold. Actually, I'm quite more sick of it than you are, I'm sure. Enough of the long winter.
You've just come off stage. How was the show? I really enjoyed it. I've not seen you before.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was fun. That was cool. A little bit hectic at first because Wednesday had decided to move the showtime a little earlier than it was supposed to be. We were supposed to go on at, I think it was 20 past 8 or something. All of a sudden we were told that we were going on at 5 past 8, which is kind of, I mean, it's dodgy. It's changing times for later. I mean, if you want to make it a little later, that's cool, but making it earlier is always kind of not a good idea. But we made it anyways. I think I was 5 minutes later that new time schedule, but we did good. Had fun. I think most people enjoyed it.
It's a fantastic band you've got together. It's almost a super group, isn't it, really?
To me, the best bunch of guys I could ever imagine playing with. I'm very happy with this band.
Are you still buzzing from winning Album of the Year at the Classic Rock Awards? I mean, it's a great. I mean, it's awesome. Congratulations. I mean, does it change things when you win an award like that? Is it just fun? Or?
It was amazingly. It was really an amazing honor and a really really cool thing. It made me feel very nice. I mean, having an award like that, especially having Duff McKagan go out of his way to be able to present it to me and us. He had traveled. He was going to travel. He had a flight booked to South America, and then when he was offered the opportunity to present the award to us for Sensory Overdrive at the Classic Rock Awards, he changed his travel plans to be able to give the award to me, which is totally mind-blowing. And he had such a beautiful introduction speech before he called me up. He was going to call me up on stage there. He was just talking about Hanoi, what a huge effect, how everybody back in LA back in those days in 1984, you know, just around the time we were doing that first tour, the Fatal Tour, people were buzzing in Hollywood. It was like, oh, Hanoi rocks everywhere, you know, everyone's talking about it, everyone wants to look like Hanoi and stuff. And him and Slash were really excited about coming to see the show that we were supposed to play, but then what happened, and it was one of the saddest days, he said, like in rock and roll. And when he mentioned that, he could tell he was choking up. You know, and I was looking at Sammy, and we all got like tears in our eyes. We're going, oh boy, I love that guy. He's such a sweet heart of gold. What a guy! You know, so it was really touching. So as a matter of fact, when I got up there, it was I was kind of at first I was totally speechless. I was like, wow, that's a beautiful speech, and it's mind-blowing, really, really cool. Gene Simmons saying, come on, move it on. Okay, Michael, we only got 2 hours. Come on, hurry up, hurry up. Gene, excuse me, I'm sorry. You got 10 million trophies on your walls. You got all this stuff, you're like up the wazoo. I mean, the one time I get an award, can I please just talk a couple of minutes here? Please, let me talk, let me finish. So anyway, yeah, it was great. Great honor. It was really, pretty amazing. I've never been to that award ceremony. It's a beautiful thing.
The one thing I was going to ask you about the new album, or lyrically on the new album, as you can see, we're doing like three things at once. We're doing an internet story, we're doing a podcast, and we're shooting. And I was worried about doing that because I listened to Modern Day Miracle, and it sounds like you're not enamored with modern day technology. Do you own a smartphone? Do you you don't like the fact that we're always connected?
No, I prefer when it does work to your advantage in terms of if you actually can do three things at the same time and you can get them all done, then that's great. That's the whole idea. But if you don't, if it just gets more complicated, then that's what a modern day miracle is talking about. That it's supposed to be making things more, you know, simplifying things and stuff. But very often it just turns out that just complicates things, you know.
Yeah. Do you own a smartphone? Are you always on the internet, or do you prefer to sort of get away from it?
I wish I could get away from it. It's like a necessary evil. I'd say in the past, I do, you know, there are many moments where I really long for the past, where you didn't have to, when you went home at night, you normally would go to bed. Nowadays, you just have to go, oh, the emails. And you have to check the emails, and you stay up for 2-3 hours that you normally wouldn't. You know, just go to bed and forget about it. And then go, oh, God, yes, the emails, I have to reply to this and that. And, you know, so it's kind of, I mean, there's a lot of good things about it. And then again, there's especially with a schedule like mine has been over the past couple of months, ever since the U.S. tour. We did 3 weeks in the States. Great, really great fun tour it was. And however, we ended up in L.A. The last show was at the Whiskey in L.A. Sold out and all. And we left L.A. I got back to the hotel about 3 a.m. and had to leave at 6 a.m. to catch a flight to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And we did one gig in Tokyo at this festival, the V-Rock Festival. Then we flew back to Helsinki. Had one day at home. And the next day, I had to. I live in Turku. It's 2 hours from Helsinki, the capital. Turku used to be the capital. That's my hometown now. Mm. I grew up in Helsinki, but in any case, besides the point, I had to travel to Helsinki to start doing promotion for my book.
Yes,
and my autobiography is out in Finland so far only.
Okay,
but in Finnish. But it's going to be translated before too long into English, and it'll be out in the rest of the world. It's basically
the second book you've been involved in, isn't it?
Yeah, the first one was the Hanoi Rocks. All those wasted years.
Wasted years, yeah.
And that came out in Finland too, in Finnish only. And there were talks about, there was negotiations were going on about having that translated too, but then they didn't go much further than, you know, there's I saw a draft of a contract, an agreement, but then it didn't go much further than that. So, but this one's going to be no problem because it's just me you have to deal with. The Hanoi book, you have to deal with Andy and, you know, other people involved. So this should be much easier to get released. Besides, this is longer, it's bigger, and actually right now...
It's a lot of work.
Oh, it was. I swear.
Now we're dividing this up by playing songs, if that's okay with you. Would you like to introduce a song, either any song in the history of recorded music, but I'd assume that you'd like to play something off Sensory Overdrive.
Next song is you could say it's kind of autobiography. Yeah, it's my autobiography in English for now. That's just it'll have to do. This song, I can relate to every word of it, definitely what I'm about, and it's called Trick of the Wrist.
Keep going! is Michael Clayton from Taiketto.
And Jim Kennedy.
And you are listening to White Line Fever.
Welcome back to White Line Fever. I'm here with Eddie and Nash from Urge Overkill. Now, we already asked them about Mason Dixon, and now we're going to ask them about the song Effigy. It's an angry song. I haven't read anything where you've actually explained who it's aimed at or why you're angry, so I just thought maybe you might be able to explain.
And the King has a lot of explaining to do.
Actually, the inspiration for... it's interesting, you see a lot of political unrest now, but I guess the ideas for the lyrics go back to the germ of the song goes back to the Bush administration. So actually it was George Bush I was imagining on fire in the lyrics of that. But he's old hat now, and we are seeing some positive things happen in terms of riots in the streets. We always like to see that.
So, I mean, without turning this into a political interview, do you think things have improved? Certainly, it's an incredible time to be alive, really, what's happening in the Middle East at the moment, isn't it? Have things improved since you wrote that song?
I have to say so. I mean, it was, I think, in terms of with all the, you know, legitimate criticisms of America... The fact that, you know, a black man can be president and, you know, win a clear plurality or whatever it was, you know, and it really proves that, you know, our system is still the worst system compared to, except for all the others, I guess. Isn't that what? It's... You know, that's an amazing thing, and I'd love to see something like that happen more often in Europe or anywhere else. Have just, you know, the best man win. I think, proved a meritocracy, although there are still problems. That's still a great moment, I think, for our times.
Now, let's go back to rock and roll. You know, you do research. You're supposed to do research before you do these interviews, and hopefully do more than Google. And one story that I was reading was quite evocative. It was about Nash sort of walking the streets of Chicago, refusing to do interviews while the band was in, well, recess. I mean, was that a difficult period, you know, when you didn't know what was going on? There was talk of the band name perhaps being revived. What was that period? How do you look back on that period now?
Well, I mean, we definitely were up for a break. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we would have killed each other, killed the band, you know, had we not recessed. But we spread our respective wings, and you know, did some solo things, and you know, got it out of our system. But in the end, I think we missed the music, and I think we both tired of being, you know, so. Unbeknownst to each of us, but
people wanted to know why. Living in Chicago is our huge fan base, and we couldn't really come up with a great reason after a while.
When are you getting the band back together? And after a while, you tire of fielding that question, and you don't really have an answer. And so then we got to talk, and
I suppose you forget the reasons in some ways, don't you? Are you in a position to give advice to musicians who are in the same position?
When we finally did, bury the hatchet, so to speak, we couldn't. Either we were just, we were too, I don't know if you can say fucked up then, or just too old to recall what it was we were actually on about. But it comes with the territory, and it's par for the course. And. And we were just happy to resume where we left off, and that was it.
I'm sure your fans are probably along with Google, doing the same Google searches that I did, but they're also Googling Blackie, and they come up a bit of a blank. It's pretty hard to find out where he is or what he's doing. Can you enlighten them in any way? Or
I'm really not the person to ask.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like the. After Urge, we heard he was involved in a couple other bands, started a project, possibly in L.A. And it seemed like that he was not thriving any longer in the rock and roll environment.
Right, so you're not still in touch with him. Okay, this is we're going to run out of time if we don't introduce another song now. Would you like to pick another song off off Rock and Roll Submarine?
What do you want to play?
Oh God. Well, I mean, I'm in love with the title track. I mean, that's how it became the title track. I mean, I think that song says it all.
Thanks, Mark, and welcome back to White Line Fever. Big week for me, anyway, with the classic rock AOR story on Motley Crue coming out here in the UK. I've never had to write a 5,000-word story before. Pretty hard to make it flow, but seemed to come up pretty well in the magazine. And probably the newsworthy thing out of it, or definitely the newsworthy thing out of it, was Mick Mars, saying that his bandmates don't realise they're 50-year-old men. They think they're 16 and that they need to grow up if the band is to get the respect it deserves in the rock community. So what I'm going to be doing, I've been thinking of doing this since I did the interviews, and it was quite a while ago now, is I'll be, in the weeks ahead, playing outtakes from the interviews with the members of Motley Crue. And we're going to start with that offending quote from Mick Mars. Before I do that, this is the normal stuff. We're always plugging whitelinefever.ning.com. Come and join. You can hear the program streaming there. There's video clips from the songs we play. Very soon, we're going to be having interviews. Video interviews will be posted on whitelinefever.ning.com, plus a whole heap of album reviews. And that's kind of the rock and roll site. The rugby league site is probably stevemascord.com, but there's a bit of each on the other, of course. I'm not going to specialise that much. Also, for both elements, you can come to facebook.com, stevemascord.com. There's no dot in there. And that's updated hourly with news as well as photo galleries and all sorts of stuff. On Twitter, I am The Real Stevis, TheRealStevis. Now, someone asked me on Twitter who performed the theme song, the intro to the podcast, and I feel very bad that I haven't plugged it every single week. I should be, because they were very nice of them to allow us to use it. It's I'm Not Here, a great song by the Hell City Glamours. So get on iTunes and look up Hell City Glamours. That's O-U-R-S. Australian spelling, just like Airborne, and buy that song, buy their album. It's a fantastic record. It really is outstanding record. One of my favourite Australian albums ever. I'm serious. It's an awesome record. Now, if you want to ring in, no one's done it yet, or no one's done it that I've been able to track down their messages. But if you ring country code 61, city code 2-8011-3186. That's +612-8011-3186. Maybe you're at a gig and you're drunk. Maybe you heard something on the radio about rugby league that annoyed the hell out of you. Then ring up and vent, and I will play your comments on next week's program. Okay, so here's Mick Mars. The interview was done at Rod Laver Arena in September. The rugby league was going on across the road at Amy Park, and I had time to dash across and do this interview backstage. Then I'm going to play a song from a band I saw open for the Choir Boys. That is the Choir Boys with a Q, not Mark's Choir Boys, who did the last ID. It was in Coventry, and this band's called the Red, White and Blues. There's members of an English band called Skin, who you might vaguely remember, the blues rock outfit, and they're absolutely dynamite live. So there's a song from them coming up. And then finally, after that, we speak to Michael and Jim from Taiketo. That's all from me this week.
That's a hard question to answer for me personally. I think there's potential for us to be able to do that if we make the right decisions. And so far, I haven't seen the right decisions made. Which we could. Mm. We could be the Stones. We could be Aerosmith. We could be U2. We could be. But if the decisions aren't made correctly by us four, no.
What areas of those decisions need to be made?
Growing up. I don't know. There's a few things that I think, you know, with Mick Jagger, let's use him for a whipping post, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He'll go up and he's real strict with his band. It's like Ronnie a drink, or this guy will or whatever. You won't drink before this and this and this and this and this, mm-hmm. and it's like. They're professional when they're on the stage, and when they're on the this, it's like very, like, focused. They seem really focused and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's some. I think because my band was so young when they made it, they still think that they're that young, and they're not.
Mm.
They don't understand that they're 50-year-old men. They still think they're 16. So that's what I think.
So what are the consequences of that? Are the consequences of not having the longevity that you could otherwise have? Is that what you think?
I'm not saying that we won't have the longevity. I'm saying more of like what would you call it?
Well, you already said maturity, didn't you?
I gotta think of the right word.
It's like if you,
when people, like, I hate stumbling around looking for a word that I know is on the tip of my tongue and I can't get it out. If you see an actor, actress, whatever, a Johnny Depp, for an instance, you see him on the screen only. Right?
Yeah.
That's where you see him. That's like and it seems like not real.
Yeah.
You know, it's like untouchable. It's like, here's this thing. The Stones have that. Aerosmith has that. U2 has that.
An aura, kind of.
Yes. Yeah. That thing, that charisma, that shit, that you know, wow. You know? But, you know, I feel like there's a few flaws yet that need to be fixed. A couple childish things, I should say.
Are you confident of that happening? Are you confident of that happening?
If that didn't happen, it's just part of Motley what they do, but you know, I wish that sometimes they wouldn't. But I think that it would put us more into a respectable kind of a royalty. Like the Stones are.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul McCartney.
And
those kinds of things. That level. That I feel this band could really reach. If there was a few things that were handled differently or changed or did this, you know, still being us, still being rebellion, still being, you know, crazy, over the top, over the whatever the heck, but you can be that way. Like Iggy Pop, there's a good example. Iggy Pop's still over the top and crazy and nuts and cuts himself up with glass and does all this shit and then the other. But people are just like going, he's like this like entity that you just go like, whoa. When you see the guy, you just go, wow. You know?
Let it shine.
This is Nash Cato
and King Roser. We're Urge Overkill. You're listening to White Line Fever.
Welcome back to White Line Fever. I got Jimmy and Michael from Taiketo. We're here backstage at the Glamorous Corporation in Sheffield. Now, I read that when you guys go on tour, that means you'll finish the record and it was ready to come out. Is that the case?
Absolutely untrue.
That's not even close. Not true. Yeah, we had to stop in the middle of it to do this, and then we're going to go back and finish it up.
So can you let us in on titles, track listing, anything?
The record's going to be called Digging Deep. We've had a very tentative schedule to hopefully be finished. The scheduling for the record is very difficult because Danny's coming in from Gibraltar. Brooke lives in the Midwest. Jimmy and I are the only two here that are from New Jersey. So we literally had a day-to-day schedule laid out. And the 2 days into the studio, a blizzard dumped about 2 feet of snow on the ground, and that knocked us out for almost a week. So that threw everything into a tailspin. We shut it down to start live rehearsals about a week and a half ago. So now what we're probably going to have to do is finish it from home studios for the duration of the record. We got almost everything done except guitars. Some vocals aren't finished yet, but we plain ran out of time. So
the songwriting process is complete. There's nothing to be added there. You know what the music's going to sound like in your own head.
I'm sure that some things will come up as everybody's doing it in their own studios, but I think the songs are pretty much together. But I'm sure a lot of stuff's going to be added on top of them, or going to be, you know, off the top, you know. But primarily, the songs are done.
So, give us a description of what it's going to sound like. What can you tell the people out there?
The thing that I think Taiketo cut their teeth on over the years was our live tenacity. The band's we're absolutely a pop band with Danny's vocals and melodies, but I think different than a lot of other bands, we've got a lot of guts on stage. I think we're very happy with the things we've done in the past, but at this point in our lives and careers, it seems like we wanted to take a bit more of a live approach, not as regimented, not as pre-planned. We were going into the studio. We were playing a song at the last three shows that we didn't have a solo section for until we actually rehearsed it for the live tour. So it's a bit more spontaneous and off the cuff. It's got a little bit more just raw energy in it that I like.
Is it in any way a response to anything you're hearing at the moment? I mean, it seems to be a little bit of a revival in melodic rock, I suppose, in this part of the world anyway. But do you deliberately try and keep outside influences outside, or was there anything that you think people will hear?
I don't know, not for me really. I think I just, you know, as it came, you know, not really. I mean, I go based on my influences when I grew up more than what's going on now. I mean, I don't know, what do you think about that?
It's, well, if last night was any judge, I mean, it was, they were rabid and screaming their heads off, and I think any band is just honest with what they're playing. I think audience, regardless of your style or what's going on economically, I think people more than ever are more select buyers because the dollar's tight. And it seems that, again, just last night being our first show in the UK, I think it felt like it was 15 years ago up on that stage. So
yeah, it was a great show. We had a great show last night.
Okay, it's time for a song. Now, I'm sure you won't send me the file so I can play anything off your album. So give us, give us a song, and we're going to start for the listeners' benefit. We're going to start next week's program with you guys as well. But what do you got for us?
Yeah, Jimmy,
pick a song.
You pick a song.
Let's see. How about Lay Your Body Down?
Stand up, get down, won't you lay your body down? Kick back and jive, sure beats working for a living. Stand up, get down, won't you lay your body down? Kick back, slow ride.
Show beats working for a living.